Okay.
What have we got next?
Best Supporting Actress. And Best Supporting Actress, the nominees are, now we're getting through the nitty gritty. Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell. Laura Dern for Marriage Story. Scarlett Johansson for Jojo Rabbit. Florence Pugh for Little Women. And Margot Robbie for Bombshell. We love Margot Robbie, don't we, Nicholas?
Well, I thought she was fantastic in Bombshell, I have to say.
She was.
I really like Bombshell, and I would love to see her win. My prediction is very simple. And Margot Robbie should win just because she was so great and so different. Laura Dern will win, I think, undoubtedly for Marriage Story. And she was also really, really good in it. So I don't mind. I wasn't a huge fan of Little Women, but I thought everyone was good in it. I didn't like Jojo Rabbit so much. Scarlett Johansson was perfectly good in it and very charming as ever. But for me, that's got nothing to do with her performances this year, because for sure she was extraordinary in Marriage Story, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute. Mm. And I sadly haven't seen Richard Jewell, but Kathy Bates is always amazing. And I remember seeing her when we were doing a TV show. I don't remember what it was. I think it was something for CNN.
Mm.
And she'd just done the movie. What was it? That Stephen King movie.
Oh, yeah. With the author.
What was it called? Where they're stuck in the snow. And,
yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah. Anyway, the title.
Is it Misery?
Sadly, moment.
That's what it was called.
Misery,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
Misery.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, it was momentarily escaping my memory banks, but yes, she just finished that movie, and we were having a chat, and said to her, "Oh wow, it was amazing. You know, we all really, really loved that. Congratulations." And she said, "Yes, but you should try getting a boyfriend after you've played that part." for those of you who've seen it, you'll understand that. But for those of you who haven't, probably worth watching it to find that out. I'm sure she's great, but I'm going to say Laura Dern is going to win, and I would love Margot Robbie to win.
Okay. Well, the one upset that I could foresee in this Oscar season, although I don't expect, but the only possible one for me in the big categories is this. It's always unpredictable, Best Supporting Actress. And Laura Dern was great in Marriage Story, but she has played this role before, most recently in Big Little Lies, the HBO series. It's not taking away from how great she was, because she was terrific. But if there was going to be an upset, I feel like it'll be in this category. She is still going to be my will win. But for me, the should win is Scarlett. I thought she was so fantastic in Jojo Rabbit. You can't compare her performance in Jojo Rabbit to her performance in Marriage Story. And funny enough, which I didn't realize, she was never nominated before. I thought Scarlett just had never won before, but she had never even, she wasn't nominated for Lost in Translation, which is very bizarre to me.
That I would have happily voted for. She was fabulous in that.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
and Girl with a Pearl Earring, an amazing debut.
And wasn't she in Vicky Cristina Barcelona? She was great in that too, right? Was that her? I think it was. No?
Yes, she is in that, isn't she?
I think she is. And she was terrific.
Yeah, well, it's Penelope is what I really remember from that. But yeah. It was. She's a great actress. Well, she'd been acting since she was a child, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Hadn't she,
but
I believe. Dead. But. But I think the big debut break was really Girl with a Pearl Earring and Lost in Translation, and that was quite a breakthrough at that time, wasn't it? So
yeah.
Yeah.
So I would like to see, I'd like, Margot Robbie has one scene in Bombshell that is so heartbreaking, and she was so fantastic. She was so fantastic. And I liked her character a lot. She was, like, raised.
It was a really good movie, that. I think probably a little underrated in these Oscars, but it's a tough year.
It was misrepresented. Yeah, it was like, or not misrepresented, it was underrepresented. That's another movie I know that I just, lucky enough, just happened to see. But my should win is Scarlett, and my will win is Laura Dern.
Fair enough, Catherine. Fair enough. Well, we're moving on to Best Supporting Actor. And the nominees are Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes, Al Pacino, The Irishman, Joe Pesci, The Irishman, and Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Can I start?
So, sure. I have not seen A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, but I wish I had, because actually everybody says that Tom Hanks is really, really great in it, and I think he's really great in most things. I've not loved all the movies he's done because I still can't bring myself to see Forrest Gump even, but I have seen him in a number of things that I think he's been spectacular in. No, actually, I'd like to see that. But I've of course, seen the other ones, and it's a tough one because I loved The Irishman. I just think it's bad timing for them this year, because
what
any other year
did
they
you love about The Irishman.
Well,
did not love the
I love Scorsese. I love that mobster world that he takes everybody into, and he makes it feel so real. De Niro and Pesci and Al Pacino, those characters that they play, that they did for him and also played for Coppola in The Godfather, some of them, they just feel authentic, and the journey that you go on with them, it's like being in that world for a moment. I'm terribly glad we're not in that world, but I think it's brilliant storytelling, and the characters are so well developed, and the nuances of the performances, particularly in this movie, where you saw how De Niro climbed up through the ranks, but Joe Pesci really was there and ultimately called the shots on things. It was like Gone with the Wind of the mobsters, but even longer.
It was longer.
It really, really was, I think, a masterpiece, and I feel a little bad for all of the people involved with it on every level, the cinematographer, Scorsese, all the cast, that it's probably not going to be their year, because had it fallen on another year, it could have cleaned up with absolutely everything. And the movie that Scorsese won the Oscar for is nowhere near as good as most of the movies he ever made, but he was so far overdue, it was embarrassing. And that's why I guess he got it that year. This is a fantastic movie. And I don't think they did anything wrong. Everything about it is really pretty much perfect. So I'd love to have seen it get more things, but it's the toughest year, because the Tarantino movie is really spectacularly good. For me, Parasite is one of the best movies I've seen in several years. A lot of people like Joker, and some people like 1917 too. So very, very, very difficult. And again, in this category, I think that either Al Pacino or Joe Pesci would have been a fantastic winner. And I loved Anthony Hopkins in The Two Popes. though I think I probably preferred Jonathan Pryce. But I guess he's in Best Actor, isn't he? So they've given him the lead. They were both magnificent. So really, really, really dull. But I think Brad Pitt's going to win. And he was also so great, the scene when he's smoked the cigarette he shouldn't have smoked and the people start coming in. It's fantastic cinema. It's unpredictable, and his character went through a really different sort of journey, and I think it's more unusual. So as much as I would really be happy to see Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, or Joe Pesci win, I do think it's Brad Pitt's award this time, and I'm going to say should win and will win.
Wow. Well, I will say that Brad should win Hottest Actor at the 2020 Oscars because he's so good looking. I think he will win. So we agree, right? We agree there. I think he's being awarded for his body of work, and I hate when that happens. I thought that he was good. And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
No, he was pretty great in this. I agree with you about the body of work argument, because that's
great.
Definitely what happened to Scorsese with the movie he won Best Director for. But I don't know. I think this is one of Brad Pitt's best performances.
You do? I've heard, and I don't know, because I didn't see Ad Astra. Did you see Ad Astra? That seems like a movie you'd see. Well, they said that he was really terrific in that. But the movie didn't do anything, so he's like sort of getting the love from Hollywood for this. He was good in this movie. I don't know how big a stretch it was for him. He was hot as could be. That when he took his shirt off, I was like, okay, I like this movie. But was he the best actor or best supporting? Nah, not to me, he wasn't. I'd probably give it to almost anyone but him. I thought Tom Hanks was terrific, and if he campaigned harder, which he's not, he would win. I didn't see Two Popes, but I'm going to before the Oscars. Al was great in The Irishman. Joe Pesci was sublime in The Irishman, and I didn't even like the movie, but they were terrific. And Brad Pitt was handsome, but he wasn't the best actor. Or the best supporting
actor. Oh, Catherine, we're definitely going to disagree on that one.
We do. So my choice for best supporting, my should win is Tom Hanks. And my will win is undoubtedly Mr. Handsome, William Bradley Pitt. How you like them scouts?
Okie dokie.
So moving on. Wow, really getting close here. Best actress. Cynthia Erivo for Harriet, Scarlett Johansson for Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan for Little Women, Charlize Theron for Bombshell, and Renee Zellweger for Judy. I didn't see Harriet. I would have. I wanted to. It just was in and out of theater so quickly. I will see it. I kind of wanted to see it with Tanner, but, you know, it would be meaningful, but I didn't see it. I thought Scarlett in any other year would be the lead for her performance in Marriage Story. She was terrific. She was she just brought so much to that role. It was a complex character, and she was so open and vulnerable and amazing. Saoirse Ronan is good in everything. I think she's like this generation's Kate Winslet. She's super. It wasn't, I don't know why she was nominated, but she was. I would have given it to maybe one of the women from Parasite, or I don't know, but I don't know why. Charlize Theron was amazing in Bombshell. Ooh. It's just not enough love for that movie for whatever reason, but she was so good. But Renee, I saw Judy the other night, And Renee is it. I mean, she, to me, really was the best actress of the year. She, besides that she looked like Judy and she acted like Judy, she performed like Judy. And to me, that's really hard to let go of your natural stance and your body and how you might hold yourself or move and be somebody else. And she was Judy Garland. She was unbelievable. So she is my should and will win. And like I said, if that movie didn't come out this year, for me, it was Scarlett all the way. But wow, Renee really blew me away. Not a huge fan of hers or Judy Garland, but she was terrific.
Well, we're going to agree again, Catherine, because I thought Scarlett was really great in Marriage Story. I thought it was a beautifully written, directed, executed movie, and her and Adam Driver were the perfect casting, really, really were, because they were believable and you could see every muscle in their body, in their face, their movements was believable. Which, after all, acting, isn't that supposed to be believable? And so I think she really would be deserving any other year. And I loved Charlize Theron in Bombshell. I think, again, if it wasn't such a strong category, and if Renee wasn't in something, she'd definitely be up for a chance. But Renee does have a particular strength and ability to be able to tap into something that a lot of other actresses don't seem to be able to top. In a way, she's got that Meryl Streep thing.
Mm.
And when she sets her mind to a character and pulls it off, it's quite difficult to beat her. Mm-hmm. And I agree that I didn't absolutely love the movie Judy, but I think she was as good as you're going to get for acting, and I would actually be shocked if she didn't win. So I'm going to say yes, yeah, should win and will win.
Oh, look at that, twinsies!
So next, do we have? We have Best Actor. And the nominees are, it's fun saying that, isn't it? Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory. Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Adam Driver, Marriage Story. Joaquin Phoenix, Joker. And Jonathan Pryce, The Two Popes. Again, it couldn't get much tougher. I think this year, the quality of films, we've probably said it on other years too, but the quality of films really is pretty good.
Mm.
And there's so many good performances that it's made it harder for all the actors that could have won on any other number of years. Because really, this category, there wasn't a single performance that didn't deserve to win something. Every one of them was just magnificent, actually. And I don't remember saying that about every actor in this category before. But Antonio Banderas is one of the performances of his lifetime, and again, a very, very special movie. Leonardo was great. They're never going to give it him because he got one a few years ago, and they're just not going to give it to him this time. But he was great in the movie. Adam Driver pretty much deserves to get it as much as anybody for Marriage Story. Joaquin Phoenix, of course, is going to win for Joker. It's his year, and yeah, he deserves it. It was one of those performances that Hollywood loves, wasn't it? Much the same as Renee's performance, actually. It was a transformation into another character. And that's what he pulled off. And I think there was more to play with in that role than perhaps the subtlety of the Adam Driver role, even though there was a lot of troughs and peaks in that. He had one relatively sane character to deal with, whereas Joaquin Phoenix could deal with sadness and madness. And perhaps those are a little easier to express in some ways. Either way, whatever he did, he's going to win. And Jonathan Pryce, what a shame that it's this year for him, because he's always been such a great actor. I loved him in Brazil, Ted Gilliam movie, and also and many, many other things. But also I bring that up because the one thing that has happened this year because of this category is that the absolutely sublime Terry Gilliam, who could not get his movie released, the last movie he made, Don Quixote, because he had the great taste to choose Adam Driver and Jonathan Pryce to star in it. And they suddenly have become two of the hottest actors in the world again, or for whatever reason this year. Now Terry Gilliam's movie has finally come out in my local cinema, and so I can get to go and see Don Quixote, which to me is poetic justice. And I'm very sorry for Terry that the horrible industry that he works within have not understood just how clever he is. And of course now I'm thrilled to see that the reviews are saying Terry Gilliam's best movie in years. But the irony is it took Adam Driver and Jonathan Pryce, two wonderful actors, to do well this year to enable Terry's film to be released. So I'm very grateful to them for that. And I'm sure Terry is too. It's going to go to Joaquin Phoenix. I have to give my could go to or should go to all the other four actors in this case. Because I thought they were all so great. And I really think that I'd be very happy if any of them won. So Joaquin Phoenix is going to win.
There's not much I can say that you didn't say. I saw everything but To Hope. I thought Leo was so good in Once Upon a Time. I think he really carried that movie. I don't know Antonio Banderas' films as well as you. I think I know him from Desperado or something. Not representative of his career, but he was heartbreaking in Pain and Glory. In any other year, Adam Driver, I almost feel sorry for him having to schlep to all these awards that he's just not going to win but should be winning, because he was phenomenal in Marriage Story. And I don't care, you know, I've never got Adam Driver. I didn't get him when he was in Girls, the Lena Dunham thing, and I don't get him as Kylo Ren, and I don't get him, ever. Although he was good in Black Klansman, but this was the first movie I got him. I was like, I see it. I see now what everybody else sees in him. I think Joaquin's going to win. I think he wants to win. I think he campaigned to win, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, he wants this award. So I think that sort of put him out in front. You know, he played the game. You know, he did all the interviews. He did the cover of Vanity Fair. He was on CBS Sunday Morning and many other things. And he was terrific. He was terrific. And I like that he's giving some, sharing some of the accolades with Heath Ledger, saying, you know, that he's standing on the shoulder of Heath Ledger. But I just want to ask you a question, Nicholas. Do you feel that maybe the Academy is rewarding him for his brother, too, who probably would have won an Oscar if he lived?
I don't know. Of course, his brother could have won Oscar. He was a really very accomplished actor at a very young age. But no, I do think, in fairness to Joaquin Phoenix, he his performance was really something. I did not love Joker as a movie. It's not one of my favorite movies of the year at all. I found it incredibly depressing, which was obviously the idea of it, but I don't know. Maybe I was just in the wrong frame of mind for it. I thought some of it was a little Hollywood-y in parts, but I thought it looked really, really amazing. And so that and his performance carried the whole thing for me. But no, I think he's really being rewarded for that transformation, that to do that and get yourself in that shape and pull off that sort of mindset in such a crazy movie. It's almost worth noting the laugh alone was worth an Oscar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to be surprised at this one, but to be able to win in that category with that kind of competition is really quite something.
Yeah. I agree. My should win is Adam Driver. I was just so moved by him. But, you know, Joaquin was amazing, too. And Joaquin's been amazing in a lot of things. And
yeah.
He tends to make, you know, indie, low-budget movies that maybe not everybody sees. He was so great in that movie with Nicole Kidman real early on, where she was the teacher who got the high school boys to kill her husband. I can't think. Oh, To Die For. That was the name of it. He was so great in that. He was probably, I don't know, he was probably 20 in that film. So in any case, we agree somewhat again. So moving on, Best Director. Oh, Best Director. The nominees are The Irishman, Martin Scorsese, Joker, Todd Phillips, 1917, Sam Mendes, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino, Parasite, Bong Joon-ho. You want to go first? Or you want me to? What do you think?
I don't mind. This is where it gets really interesting to me. I really feel most of the categories this year are pretty predictable. Front runners have come up in the other awards. There are some standout movies and performances, but as we discussed, plenty of great movies. This is going to be interesting to see how people voted. I will reiterate once more my thoughts about the best movie, which is that it's Parasite. And so in many ways, Parasite should win Best Director and Best Picture, because I think that it has a little edge above all the other really good ones. I don't think that's what's going to happen, because one, it's South Korean and we are in Hollywood, and I cannot see it being voted for in these categories. In reality, people are going to look towards American movies, or perhaps the British movie, 1917, and I'm a Sam Mendes fan. I really loved American Beauty. And as I said a little earlier, war movies, unless they're something incredibly unique and unusual, which one could argue there are things about this that are, I am not my favorite category. Director, well, if you run through it, Scorsese has only won once before. He should have won 10 times. It's an incredible achievement. It's a movie made when he's now a little older. He's had the most incredible career. I'm sure there's plenty of people who will vote for him and would love him to win. Joker, I think, was beautiful-looking movie and very popular with a lot of people. I don't think that's got a chance. 1917 definitely does have a chance. It won the Golden Globes, didn't it? It won at the BAFTAs. It wouldn't be my choice. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I would love to see that win more because, again, I think Tarantino has been largely overlooked as a director and creator, and it was absolutely my favorite movie this year until I saw Parasite. So, and again, unique. I love things when people try to do something a little different. That's why I perhaps not quite as much enthusiasm for Little Women, mm-hmm. because I have seen the other two, but a third remake, I don't know, makes the world a better place. So Tarantino, I would be very, very happy if he won. I would be happy if Martin Scorsese won. I would be thrilled if Bong Joon-ho won, and that is not going to happen. I don't think, but you never know. This, for me, the upset category is director and best picture, because I think it'll all be to do with tactical voting. I'm going to say what I really think should win is Parasite, and what I think may win in this case is Tarantino. I think they might. Well, it's either that or 1917. But we'll see where we go to on the next one, the next category. Because for me, it's not necessarily about what should win. It is about what should win. Parasite should win. But what will isn't necessarily what should win at all. I think it is tactical. And so I think they're going to give Sam Mendes one and Tarantino the other. I don't think one will get both, and I'll probably be entirely wrong about that. But that's what I'm saying.
But will win, though? You didn't choose.
Well, will win. I think Tarantino may well win. I think it could be a surprise because
wow. It's
a movie about Hollywood. They really do owe him plenty. Scorsese could also win, but I've got a feeling Tarantino will win the best original screenplay, I think. So maybe they'll share out with The Irishman, and also they need to be nice to Netflix, which so far, even though they made three of the best movies this year, I don't think they're going to win a lot of prizes. So that could be a reason for The Irishman to get it. But I'm going to say Parasite should get it. And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood will get Best Director.
Nicholas, that's a big limb for you. I'm so proud of you. That's not like you. I don't know a lot about this category personally. I don't have the eye you have. And I've seen all the nominated films. I dislike The Joker as much as you. I mean, I'm sorry. I dislike The Irishman as much as you dislike Jojo Rabbit, which noted was not nominated for Best Director, which I
and
think
shouldn't have been.
I should have been. I think did not like The Irishman, so let's cross that one, Marty. I did like The Joker a heck of a lot more than I thought I would, but is it the best directed movie of 2020 or 2019? No, I don't. I think 1917 is sort of running on some gimmick because, funny enough, when I saw it, I didn't know anything about it. And Brian and I are watching and we're like, whoa, this is a long shot. This is a really long shot. And then, like, maybe after like 15 minutes, we Google to see if that was like the thing of the movie, and it is the thing in the movie. It's supposed to be one little shot. I don't know, love the movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, agree that Quentin is due. He doesn't get it for this, he'll get it someday. This movie was so long though, and there was so much that could have been. There was so, what is it, cut the wheat from the chaff? Isn't that like some saying? There was so much that would get to be in there, I must say. And then it's Parasite. Bong Joon-ho, which is amazing. I don't know the answer to this, Nicholas. I'm going to say Sam Mendes will win because people like him and directors, uh-huh. like a director's dude, and
yep.
they like the story, and he said it was inspired by his grandfather. So I'm going to do my Will Win as 1917, and I'll give Parasite should win because I thought it was a brilliant movie.
Yeah.
And
I think you probably will do better than I will with my predictions on this because I think they have to give Sam Mendes something. But I don't know. I sort of feel in my heart that Tarantino's so overdue that maybe it could be his year, and it's a great movie.
It was a little long. Did you know that the house in Parasite was built just for the movie? It's like not a real house. That's cool.
No, but that doesn't surprise me even in the slightest. But whatever they did it all right.
I know. I love that. I think it's so cool. All right. the last category. Gosh, we've been on the phone. We've been doing. You know, it's almost 90 minutes. Plus, for our cafe, we're giving everyone the good.
Well, Catherine,
I know.
That's a lot of life we're giving to this.
We are. I love it.
Special occasion this evening.
It is. It is. So I'll start. The best picture. The nominees are Ford versus Ferrari.
The Irishman.
Jojo Rabbit.
Joker.
Little Woman.
Marriage Story.
1917.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
And Parasite. Take it away,
Nicole. It's a good year, Catherine.
It is.
It's a really good year.
It's a real good year.
So what do you think?
Okay. I think that Parasite was the best movie of the year. And, well, I think Jojo Rabbit was the best movie of the year, but I think it's Parasite. I'm very stuck between the two of them. They were both amazing, and when I saw them, I was like, that's the best movie I've ever seen. I have a soft spot for Jojo Rabbit because I saw it with Tanner, and it was just like the first sort of grown-up-y movie I saw.
I'm sorry to slightly interrupt, but I have to say it is the one movie in that list that, well, actually, maybe one of two in the list that I really don't understand why it's there. But you know, a lot of people absolutely love it, and it was a quirky idea, so I get that.
I get that, too. I really want to give one shout-out to Ford versus Ferrari, which I liked a lot better than I thought I was going to. I don't think Christian Bale was nominated for Ford versus Ferrari. He sort of deserved it, though. He was incredible. Probably not a movie you would like, but I really liked it.
I haven't seen it, but I will see it. I'm looking forward to it. John saw it, and he enjoyed it. He thought it was good.
Yeah, and he plays a guy named Ken Miles, who was from Birmingham, which maybe you knew. I didn't know. So just going through the list, I like Ford versus Ferrari. I didn't like The Irishman. I love Jojo Rabbit. I like The Joker. I like Little Women. I love Marriage Story. I did not love 1917. I liked Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I love Parasite. So there's three movies there that I really liked a lot. I would like to see Parasite win. I'm gonna say my should win and my will win are both Parasite. There, I said it.
Wow, that's fighting talk, Catherine.
It is. I sort of disowned Jojo Rabbit in the clutch, but I think Parasite was really the best movie of the year. I do. It had everything.
No, I agree. And for once, I don't think we're really in a very small minority. A lot of people who have seen it feel that it is the strongest movie of the year. And the fact that a South Korean movie is in the Best Picture category, along with a lot of other English language movies, says it all to me in itself, because it's not very often that happens.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely deserved of that position. It sort of reminded me a little bit of a French movie from many years ago called Delicatessen.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really loved too. And I'd like to see again, actually, which was about a sort of scary family, but for different reasons. And the artistry and the madness of it and the unpredictability is what made it so so beguiling and beautiful, because mostly in movies I can see what's coming. That doesn't always make me happy. When I don't see what's coming, I'm much more excited by the movie. And for sure, in Parasite, early on you learn what's happening and you can see what the pattern's going to be. But then the twists and turns it takes are so unpredictable. And for that pain and the craziness of it and the beauty of it and the acting and the commentary on modern life, I feel it really had everything a movie should have. And so I would dearly love that to win the Best Picture. That would be a complete triumph.
Mm-hmm.
If that happened. So it's definitely my should win. And I felt exactly the same about the BAFTAs, where I thought perhaps it had a little outside chance, but that wasn't to be. And what happened in the BAFTAs, for those of you who perhaps didn't see the results or follow it around the world, 1917 won, which we've discussed a little. It's mm-hmm. a really good movie. It's very professional and well done. Just didn't capture my heart, not my type of movie. And I felt there were several other movies this year that I way prefer, including The Irishman, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, even Joker, actually, I thought was more interesting, and Marriage Story, for sure. So whilst that is not on my personal list of what should win Best Picture, I have a feeling that if they give Tarantino or Scorsese Best Director, Best Picture is going to go to 1917. I really would love Parasite to win, and I would be super happy if Once Upon a Time in Hollywood won. And I would understand if The Irishman won. But I think I'm going to say, in fact, I'm certain I'm going to say, Parasite should win. And 1917 is going to win.
Mm. Oh! Nicholas, I'm going to give away the end of the movie because I want to say something to you. And I'm going to give it away because if you haven't seen Parasite yet and you're listening to this, well, tough on you. It's been out since like November. Didn't you think it was interesting that the only
It's only just come out in the UK, by the way.
Oh, so should I not? All right. I'll say it. Get it. I'll pull the breakout on that. And when we get off, I was going to say something. But anyway, it's a terrific movie. Like I said, I was like afraid to see it for some reason. I thought it was like
I don't know why, because it's not a scary movie. Some of the things that happen, of course, are scary within it, but it's not a scary movie at all. I would absolutely urge anybody, even those who are put off by the idea of South Korean and subtitled, do not be put off by that.
No.
It just means a little tiny effort to read the subtitles, and you will be so happy that you have made that effort, because it's rare that a movie this great, this modern, and this original comes along.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think I thought it was like that movie Us by Keegan. Is that his name? Keegan Michael? I don't know. That scary movie where everybody looked like everybody else. I don't know why I thought it was scary. I had no idea. It was so stupid of me. And it's not even a smidge scary. Anyway, it was just fantastic. And I think, I don't know, are you going to stay up? Are you going to stay up to watch Oscars?
Probably not. I'm not even sure whether on here live. But I think they are actually, but it's about 3 a.m. in the morning, and we have a lot of stuff going on in DD world right now. So I doubt it. I need to be compos mentis in the day. But I shall watch with great interest to see what happens, and particularly with the director and best picture categories, because that really is a little crazy. It could go either way. Maybe The Irishman will get best picture and Quentin will get best director. Maybe Parasite will win both. Maybe Sam Mendes will win best director and The Irishman will win best picture. I wouldn't be so shocked at any of those results. Just because I think there's so many politics involved and so many people involved that have made so many great things over the years that should be rewarded. And then the wild card of Parasite largely being acclaimed as the best movie of the year. And what should they do? I think they will give it foreign movie and then not really... in these other categories that we've touched on. It may win something else, but it won't be anything that significant. But we'll see, Catherine. All will be revealed on Sunday, at least 3 weeks too early.
What do you mean 3 weeks too early? Because we should have done it.
Well, I quite like the Oscars being at the end of February. I'm not sure I can cope with it being on February the 9th. It all seems topsy-turvy to me, Catherine.
I agree. I'm with you on that. Well, Nicholas, as every year, it is a pleasure debating with you. I will be texting you, so turn off your phone, because I will text you after Best Director, and I will text you after Best Movie. but so you know I will. I think we're pretty in line this year. I think you went out on one big limb, and I went out on one big limb. So let's see how we do, my friend.
Yes, indeed, and I think it will be an interesting year. I look forward to it, although I do dread the Oscar ceremonies have got increasingly worse over the last few years, and their inability to find a half-decent host or somebody that doesn't resign is a little sad. So I hope they make up for it in other ways with the ceremony, and I dearly hope that every speech is not about
politics.
Every single thing that it needs to be apologizing and politics and what's wrong with the country, and also political correctness, which I firmly believe in. However, I think it's getting to be too much with people talking about it. So let's see what happens.
Let's see. Do you want to give us any Duran Duran scoop before we hang up from our Oscar cafe? You could say no.
Duran scoop. Some ice cream,
scoop.
Maybe.
I forgot to eat my fish.
Duran Duran World actually in full action mode at the moment. We are in the lyric stage of the album, which is always a critical stage. stage. At least we're not in the emergency room, though, which is good. And I think we're battling through. We will have an album out this year. I don't know when yet. I would love to have it in the summer. My guess is very seriously the latest would be September.
For my birthday.
We'll certainly have a track out, I would hope, pre-summer.
Okay.
We have worked with three different producers on the album, Giorgio Moroder, Errol Alkan, and Mark Ronson, all of whom have done a stellar job in producing different songs for us. We are looking at tour dates coming up, some of which have been announced, and a few more surprises for the summer, which will be announced sooner or later. We're very much looking forward to the Isle of Wight Festival and some other things in Europe. We don't have any US dates announced yet, but undoubtedly at some stage, of course, we will be traveling that way, and I hope to some areas of the world. And there's a lot of other projects in the background that I don't want to talk about yet because I think it's a little too soon, but some really super interesting, different opportunities for us, given that it's now, well, I guess I'm hesitant to say it, but four decades in, I'm really pleased that we are still able to conjure up projects that we're all excited about and that keep driving the thing forward. I'm not quite sure how it happens, but somehow it does. So 2020 will be a surprising year, I hope, for the band. And I look forward to seeing some of our old friends on the way.
Me too. I'm excited. I know a little bit, but I can't give scoop because it's not my cafe. But I did tell my children not to expect to see me much by the end of this year.
Crikey, so, Catherine. That sounds frightening.
I have a little office. So I say, you know, don't come into mommy's office. So I'll be saying that again. I haven't really said that since maybe 2017. They haven't heard me do that. I know. So Tanner looks
like... sign the album's nearly done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this will be like Hayden's kind of real first album cycle. Exciting. Anyway, enough about me and more about Duran Duran when I have you back in the cafe in June. Surely there will be a lot to say.
I hope so, Catherine. I hope so.
Nicholas, I'm going to go eat my last goldfish. So thank you so much for joining me in our annual Oscar Cafe. And for now, the balcony is closed.
Okay, Catherine. Well, a pleasure as always. And I would just like to put a disclaimer on this as our final resolution to the call. When Catherine says she's going to eat her last goldfish, she does not mean she's going to eat her last goldfish. She means she's going to eat candy.
I have one. Actually, it's a Swedish fish. A goldfish is a cheese cracker. I got confused between my fishes. I only have one Swedish fish left. So even if I wanted to eat more candy, I couldn't because there's no more to be had. I love Swedish fish. And let me remind you, Nicholas, I have no cavities. So you can make fun of me and my candy all you want. But I have good teeth.
That's all right. But there's a big difference between a Swedish fish and a goldfish, Catherine.
That's all right. You're right. Okay. All right, Nicholas. Until next year.